Good morning. We will call the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting to order for Thursday, March 19th, 2026. We'll start with roll call.
All right. Member Riley?
Here.
Member Lowe?
The one on your right.
Here.
Member Tuggle? Member Guthrie?
Here.
Member Gibson?
Here.
Member Hageman?
Here.
Member Talley?
Here.
Okay, with a quorum, we will move forward. This is an opportunity for public comment, and this is the public's opportunity to address this committee on items that are not on the agenda.
Good morning. Katie Franco with the County Public Works Department. We have a correction to item 4E, the second quarter budget status report. The recommendation should read, it is recommended that the advisory committee approve the use of district operating reserves to increase the litigation line item by $1,100,000 to provide sufficient funding for the remainder of the fiscal year. If approved, a budget adjustment will be presented to the District Board of Supervisors as an action item. And as a note, separate from the correction, typically you guys would have a physical budget book in front of you for endorsement today, but because of this recommended change, that will change the budget book. So if it's approved, we would make that change in the budget book. And we're also looking for an approval to update our reserve policy in the budget book. So that's another reason why you don't have that today. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you for that. Anybody else from the public?
If I could just make a note for the record, the original recommendation was $900,000, so we're calling for a $200,000 increase from that. Yeah, we did just pull $1,000,001 out of thin air. So thank you for that clarification.
Okay, with that, we will move on to the meeting minutes for the January 15th, 2026 meeting. Did anyone have any comments, items to review for staff? Do we need roll call to approve?
Yeah.
We'll do that now.
Yeah. Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Got ahead of myself. Roll call, please.
All right. Member Riley?
Yes.
Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Tuggle? Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Talley?
Yes.
Motion carries. We have a series of operations reports, and we'll start with the water plant operations, reservoir storage, and downstream releases.
All right, David Spiegel, County Public Works. I'll start off with a reservoir projection chart. This was our February and now the March projection charts. The lake's sitting pretty well right now. The green line represents our storage projection with rainfall. The yellow line represents our storage projection with no more rainfall this year. Let's see. I'll go on to... Do I have it in the right spot? I'll go ahead and jump in on the current reservoir conditions. The plant flow is currently at 4.2 MGD, the state water projects at 0.7 MGD, our downstream release is at 2.4 MGD, current lake elevation is 515.58, storage is at 43,269.2 acre feet, that puts us at 87.5% of capacity. And our rainfall to date is 21.42 inches, which is 107% of average.
Thank you. And are we ready for monthly operations report then?
Yeah, so yeah, I kind of skipped around there. Already covered projected reservoir levels for item B. Item C is our monthly ops reports. We have January and February's numbers on here. Everybody's water usage is tracking pretty well and kind of in line with what it should be this time of year. The water year does end in March, so we'll have the end of the year true-up happening and then new surplus storage and your entitlement, storage, and surplus numbers will be updated for April 1st. And we plan to declare, I would say, declare surplus water on or around April or May. Due to the injunction, downstream releases were more than the typical 4,200 acre feet. Therefore, there will likely be no surplus water generated.
Great. And then clarification on each of these after 4A, B, C, D, are we supposed to be public comment right after each one of these or after the entire operations?
After the entire section.
Just a note to everybody, we will, after item E, we will have open for public comment.
All right.
So project updates?
Yep, item D. So the spillway assessment investigation, GEI is working on an alternatives analysis based on comments from the county. They are also extending that to another branch of their company to do some QAQC work on their alternatives analysis. Once we get those comments, the corrected version back, we will be circulating that with the Zone 3 TAC and deciding on what alternatives we should move forward with investigating. Currently, I believe we have a remainder of about $200,000 to $250,000 left in that budget. Geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study at the Terminal Reservoir Dam. We did meet with DSOD. We explained the funding issues that we have right now in Zone 3. They are requesting that we do a 2D flak analysis and a fault rupture assessment. We've had some preliminary quotes for that around $200,000 to $250,000 to finish those assessments. Those assessments will determine whether or not the terminal reservoir needs a seismic retrofit. At the current moment, we're thinking about putting out the bid to see if we can get some better costs on that project. But DSOD did mention to us that they were okay with us putting off some of that work as long as we showed due diligence in moving the project forward. And that could be showing that we did allocate some budget, that we're getting quotes, those sorts of things. They just want to make sure that we're continue to move the project forward. Cathodic protection repair project, we're still kind of working with DWR. We've got a round of plan check comments that we're working on for their transient monitoring test station. That project is... it's one I'm pushing back on. I've talked to the TAC about this a little bit. Our pipeline was there first. State Water came in second. It's always had a cathodic protection system on it. Now, all of a sudden, they want this transient monitoring test station. In my opinion, if they want it, they should pay to install it. So I am pushing back on that one. I can keep you guys updated as it moves forward. The fire flow tank is permanently on hold pending any budget. I think it was brought to my attention that I continue to show that we might have $500,000 in the budget for that. That is not true. We did move the budget to the membrane module rack at the request of the TAC to finally just put all the money in one bucket and finish one project at a time. As I've mentioned on other meetings, the membranes are fully replaced at this time. No future membrane replacements are needed. I don't think the next one's due for another 5 to 6 years. So we won't be needing any more budget for the membrane racks. The urban water management plan, that's due every 5 years. Our consultant is working on that plan. I believe it's in about the 90% phase. We had a few comments on that, and we're hoping to finalize it by the deadline of July 2026 here. And as we see on your completed projects is the membrane module replacement, steelhead passage feasibility, and the Lopez Dam flow sensor. Any questions on the project updates?
I have a question on the steelhead passage feasibility. Are you going to make a recommendation to the county on one of the alternatives? We talked about it last time.
The alternative that was identified in the steelhead passage feasibility assessment was the trap and haul program.
Yes.
And that is being detailed and outlined in the HCP.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah.
That's where it lives.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I believe you brought it to my attention that you wanted the draft HCP and I believe the steelhead passage feasibility assessment, that has all been posted to the Zone 3 website. So it is available if the public would like to see it at this time. It is draft. So
great. Thank you very much.
Yep.
David, I don't know if you're going to touch on it or not, but at this part, but I think we t- talked about it at the TAC for the benefit of the AC, just talk about lightning strike and the work that the county staff did to get that back up. I didn't know if that was on your agenda. But
sure, it was not on the agenda. I can definitely talk about it as a project update. I probably should have put it on here. So as you guys know, we had that storm a few weeks ago. We had a lightning strike at the Lopez Water Treatment Plant. It damaged a lot of our low voltage equipment. The staff was able to bring the plant back online, I believe, after about a week and a half. It proved that having spares on the shelves and backups was very important. We have filed an insurance claim on the project and are tracking all costs associated with the lightning strike so that we can hopefully get reimbursement. There is a $50,000 insurance deductible. We were told preliminarily at this time that staff time is included in that. It's not just overhead. It is staff time's included in that insurance claim. So all efforts are being tracked via a separate, I guess, as a receiving or work order to track all the costs. So.
And low voltage equipment includes?
So there's predominantly our SCADA system. So it was a good test to show that that plant cannot be ran manually. There's too many things that go on, especially with I really do want to get you guys all out there for a tour so you can see how the plant operates. We have water quality test stations throughout the plant, and at each unit process, we look at turbidity, chlorine residuals, all these different, you know, all these different constituents. And those reporting systems failed. How they talk back to our main SCADA unit, that connection had failed. So we had to go through, make sure the reading piece of equipment was working, the PLC that kind of does the interface between the computer and that piece of equipment was working, and that the wiring wasn't fried in between there as well. Turned out a lot of it was the PLC card or the piece of equipment or both. So it's really all the ancillary equipment that allows us to operate the plant. We did not find that like pumps, motors, anything like that had failed. All the high voltage stuff seemed pretty robust. It was just the low voltage circuits that seemed to really take a hit. So, and it was very random. There was nothing to say, you know, in the same cabinet with 12 PLC cards in it, maybe three were fried and the rest were fine. So it was kind of hit or miss on which ones were affected, and we don't really know why. We did get a cost estimate from, I believe it was Electrocraft. They will do a lightning strike assessment and look at the soil potentials and some other things out there. I believe that study was around $18,000. It was something I was going to bring to the TAC and discuss with them if it's something we'd like to go forward with. I'd like to think that lightning doesn't strike the same place twice, but it might be worthwhile to have the study done and see what our options are.
Okay, and I'll ask the question probably the public is thinking, is there any indication that the water quality was impeded during that time?
It was not. We did do our reporting to the state to show that although the lightning strike happened, when the plant alarmed and shut down, no untreated water was able to make it to the Clearwater Reservoir. So we still met all water quality standards even after the lightning strike. And then, yeah, and to further explain that, so once the plant went down, we did have some communications issues with the state water connection as well, and they actually had some of their equipment fried in the lightning strike as well. They came out and I believe got that repaired the same day, at least so that they could set the flow rates at the turnout. And so we did a district-initiated exchange with the Zone 3 agencies, and we brought in as much state water as we could.
I guess just a final point. We always have a lot of fun. Well, some of us have fun picking on the county. But in this case, it was the repairs work was done by in-house staff for the most part, which I think saved us all some money. And they did a great job. And so I'd just like to, I guess, express my thanks. And but remember, it takes one attaboy only, you know, gets you a little ways.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's 50 attaboys against one, oh, heck, you know, somehow that goes. But anyway, I do appreciate you. All levity aside, appreciate the work for the county staff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions on the project updates? Okay, with that, we will go to the second quarter budget status report with the noted recommend We will note that at the end of this, we'll be taking a roll call on whether or not the advisory committee will approve a budget increase to the litigation line item by $1.1 million for the remainder of the fiscal year, as opposed to the $900,000 in the original report, and for the advisory committee to provide recommendation to district staff on the use of district reserves. Recommendations will be presented to the district board of supervisors as an action item. So after we receive this status report, I think we will open for public comment, and then we will deliberate on whether or not to make that recommendation.
Do you guys want to speak to the second quarter budget? You want me to go over it? I'm happy to go over it. And then I'll just add too that the Zone 3 TAC did endorse the funding of that 1.1 out of reserves at last Wednesday's TAC meeting. So, all right, I'll go down the second quarter budget stat. As you can see, for the overall summary, we're sitting about 50% of the budget spent to date. We're 50% of the way through the year. Expenses through quarter two are $4.6 million. Our remaining budget is around $3.5 million. Our routine operations, the expenses through quarter two were $3.7 million. Remaining budget is about $2.9 million, and that's about 55% of the budget expended so far on O&M costs. Non-routine O&M, we're sitting at 130% of the budget expended. Expenses are $963,000, and we're in the rears $259,000 to date. I'll note that the budget was overspent by that $259,000 due in large part to the ongoing litigation costs that total $931,000. The capital outlay were expenses through quarter two are $1,464. The budget remaining is $844,000. That's less than 1% of the budget expended. We have not received final invoicing due to a discrepancy on the invoice from Paul Membranes. So we're trying to get that corrected. Once we do, we should see an invoice from them around $600,000, which will true up that capital projects line item. Does this one have all the graphs? Oh, yeah. Routine operations, you can see here in the graphs. They're tracking pretty well, kind of falling in line. I know we're a little over budget, but not by much for the routine operations and maintenance. I was wondering if there's anything specifically that I should call out on here. Chemicals are up. They're at 60% of the total budget. Chemical costs are just expensive right now. The Lopez water rights and HCP were sitting at 76%. Since the HCP was submitted on October 1st, there has been a little bit of a lull in the work effort there, but I do believe it'll be picking up again soon. Then here's the non-routine operations and maintenance. You can see it's way over budget at the moment, significantly attributable to the Lopez litigation costs. All the other line items seem to be tracking just fine. And then capital outlay, like I explained, we should see about a $600,000 invoice on the membrane racks that should hopefully bring this back in line with the budget versus actuals.
Thank you for that report. I'll start with any questions here on the committee.
I have a quick question. For the line item on the Lopez HCP litigation, are the litigation costs segregated from the HCP development? I know the draft's been submitted, but those costs are separated, right?
They are. They are separate, yes.
Thank you. Where do they show up?
So Lopez HCP is actually under routine O&M. And on this chart, it's like the second to last on the upper. Yeah. So that one right now, I think we spent, where are we at? Total to date, for this fiscal is $714,000.
Thank you.
Any other committee member questions, clarifications? Okay. Then before we take a roll call on whether to make this recommendation.
Public comment?
Yeah, we will do public comment. Any member of the public that wishes to speak on any item in the operations report, this would be your time.
Okay. Hello, Stacy Inman, Pismo Beach. What is the total cost of litigation in this fiscal year? Is that the $714,000 you listed?
Its total is $931,831.
And I'm curious why the requested increase. I know it's litigation costs, but what's the rationale? More hours, higher rate, hourly rate? What else?
There wasn't enough budgeted at the beginning of the year to cover all the litigation costs. So I think it was somewhere around $400,000 or $500,000 was in the budget for litigation expenses, and it's exceeded that. And at the current burn rate, we're expecting it to go up to that the 1.1.
So it's an expectation of the future. It's not money that's in arrears right now.
Is that a true statement?
Could you maybe explain that more for the public to understand that, please?
The current budget for the litigation was $554,000, and we've already exceeded that by about the same amount. So at the current rate that we're spending for our legal defense, we're estimating that we're going to see about $1 million throughout the rest of this fiscal year. And just to support those expenditures with the budget to match what we're expecting to see, we'll save our agencies when we do a true-up billing. We would not be having to do that for $1 million. Instead, we're taking it from reserves. That's the strategy.
So could I clarify by saying that maybe this is, to Ms. Inman's question, a little bit of catching up in arrears, but also a little projecting into the future?
Yes, through the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you for that. Any further questions or comment from the public? Nobody called in on the bat phone? Okay.
Where is the bat phone?
I thought Marcia might know.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. Well, with that, thank you for all the reports, David, and we will I'll look for a motion to make the recommendation of the advisory committee to the Board of Supervisors.
Could we discuss before we make a motion?
We may, absolutely.
Yeah. So would the board consider a smaller increase right now, because the operation costs, the contractor billings have increased for basically 10.7%. So this is more about litigation than I think our operating costs. So, and a lot of that is unknown. We can sell tomorrow, right? So, and that increases, I don't think it's going to go backwards. So I would propose a 25% increase right now, and for the city, instead of the 57, to make it more palatable and be able to have an increase while still maintaining our budget.
The consideration is to pull $1.1 million out of reserves instead of $900,000. And, Marcia, your comment was about the 57%. I'm trying to make that connection.
Well, that's what the million is, I guess, the 57%. Well, there's an increase to the cities in what they're going to have to pay.
Is that for 627?
I just wanted to make a clarification that there is an updated section in your packet for the corrected second quarter report that discusses our reserve balance. The operation and maintenance budget is about, for 26-27, is about $6.6 million. Our current operating reserve is 2.8 or 43% of that budget. And if we decrease it by $1.1 million, as we're recommending, the balance would be 1.7 or 26% of the projected budget for next year. So this resolution is to not bill the agencies that $1.1 million, but to take it out of reserves to try to smooth that budget increase for next year. And if we do settle or this ends, it would go back to reserves. And if it continues and we don't exceed that budget, we could carry it forward for the following year to help that.
So if there's a change in the litigation status, this would be more, go back to a more operational type budget and not, I mean, you, the cap. Here's the thing, in my mind, when things go up, very rarely do they go down. That's kind of, that's why I'm kind of, you know, talking about this right now. So the county, it seems like you're willing to, we'd be going back to our normal budget and not have to worry about
I think filling this void. Safe to say, aside okay. from HCP costs that we haven't seen previously, but yeah.
So it might continue for the HCP costs, you think?
Well, and I can clarify, in the proposed 26-27 budget, we deferred all maintenance at the water treatment plant, and so we've actually earmarked, correct me on the numbers, but I think it was around $500,000 for the HCP and about $400,000 for the litigation. So we're trying to stay within your normal, you know, operations of funding. Even if, let's say, the litigation ended tomorrow, we would still be working towards the HCP, which we've, budgeted for within the normal budget limits that we shoot for. So does that make sense?
Yeah. So this is, it sounds like more than likely this is going to be a stay in place for a while, too, because it goes hand in hand with the HCP improvements.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll clarify again, at the TAC meeting, our original ask was the $900,000, and then it was recommended, because through quarter two, it's $931,000. We said we wanted we requested $900,000, but it was recommended to us to raise it to 1.1 to borrow from reserves. So.
Yeah, so again, to take $1.1 million out of reserves and then lower the, I'll say, our policy or the district's policy, the program's policy of having reserves at 50%, will drop down that policy to 27%, which is about $1.7 million in reserves. So again, that's money that's still in the bank, even if we move 1.1 out of reserves to cover essentially this year. And then next year we have some budget in there. The flip side is, if this goes to trial, we're going to be underwater probably another $1 million in 26-27. Yeah, so that's, I mean, just not Pollyanna, but probably the facts and why I think we're pushing hard for settlement. I think the plaintiffs are not. They feel pretty good in their position, apparently. So, but that's just my editorial comments.
Can I ask a clarifying question from all of that?
Please do.
I heard you say that the $1.1 million that you're requesting is coming out of reserves and will not be billed to the agencies. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, that is different than the past, is it not?
Not when we borrow against reserves. So if we're borrowing against your reserves, then that doesn't get billed to the agencies unless, well, at some point, if we're trying to hold 50% in reserves, we would be asking that you put that money back. But the reserve policy is changing, or we've made the recommendation here to change it, that it will be a minimum of 25 up to a maximum of 50. And that would be an agreement with the group as to whether, if and when they want to put money back into reserves to get it back up to a certain level.
Okay.
And I said, make sure I look at finance, make sure I said that correctly.
I think the cities may prefer that it come out of reserves and being billed to all the cities right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a positive step in regard to everyone I have talked to about this. So I would think that that's something positive you may want to do.
Thank you.
Yep. Right. So if I'm understanding, I'll my summary of the understanding is we're essentially amending our reserve policy or making the recommendation to do so to pull $1.1 million from the reserves, take our general 50% reserve down to 25 for a period of time, and at some point in the future we will need to talk to our agency members about if we want to increase the reserve policy once again, making that up at some point in the future. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll just clarify too, one last thing. The second quarter budget, it's a request for the, you know, the $1.1 million to come out of reserves. The endorsement for the operating reserves policy is action item in number 8 when you endorse the 26-27 budget. That new language is in that portion. So just making sure you guys understand. Quarter 2 budget is just the $1.1 million ask out of reserves, and then item 8 will be the policy and the overall budget. Yep.
Okay. It's clear to me. I think I'm getting the okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the per staff recommendation.
Thank you, Member Lowe. Go ahead.
Oh, I said second. Oh, I'm on the wrong.
It's the little one. There's so many mics.
Second.
All right. Well, roll call then.
Sounds good. Member Riley?
Yes.
Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Talley?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you for all of that. And now we will turn to the Lopez Recreation Report.
All right. Hello, everyone. So for the Lopez Recreation Report, I'm Craig Dupre. I'm the supervising ranger at Lopez Lake. I'm filling in for Brian today. So it's been busy out there with the warm weather. Right now, you know, visitation is definitely picking up. But we've had approximately 28,000 visitors since January. Some of the activities that we've had, we had the Cal Poly Triathlon, which has been going on now for, gosh, almost two decades. It took place on March 7th. It was well attended, no major issues. And we have one bass tournament. Actually, it's this weekend on Saturday. Some of the projects that are going on right now, pretty significant, the water tank replacement project. The tank construction is complete. They just finished the painting, so now it's in cure time. So it's looking like end of April we'll be able to transition from the temporary tanks to the new tank. And then in terms of staff projects and contractors, we're finishing some erosion control, office building maintenance, water and sewer line repairs, and, of course, lots of weeds. So a lot of weed abatement. Department of Fish and Wildlife coordination. Staff, we're continuing to work on trash receptacle upgrades in the park in response to the increasing bear activity, which fluctuates with our peak season. So right now it's pretty mellow out there with the bear activity, but you know, come summer, it becomes problematic. So one of the things that we're doing is transitioning the plastic recycle dumpsters to metal so they can't tip them over, which I still think they probably can, but not as easily. And then, let's see, we've also had 3 trout plants since January, so approximately 5,000 pounds of rainbow trout. And then aquatic invasive species inspection program. We've had approximately just under 1,000 vessels inspected. We had 16 failed inspections. And then to kind of lastly to finish off, one of the most important topics, I think, for this report from us is that we're currently working on submitting application for the state, for the Department of Boating and Waterways, for the Quagga and Zebra Mussel Grant for 2026 to 2028. It's we can apply for up to $400,000, and it's basically to continue to build upon our robust inspection and prevention program and continue to kind of set the standard in the region for prevention. I'm not sure if you're aware, but in 2024 we received the quagga and zebra mussel grant, so the same one we're applying for. We received $318,000, which allowed us to hire a part-time dedicated boat inspector, a canine team, which provided a mussel-sniffing dog that could sniff veligers and the quagga mussel, and allowed us to implement the watercraft identification database, which offers real-time data so we could see where a boat just came from and whether or not it needs to be quarantined. So our rangers have always been thorough with inspections, but to keep up with the evolving threat and best practices, it is requiring a lot more time, because one thing we don't do is take a back step on inspections, because it's so important to protect the domestic water. But it does take away from visitor safety and patrols and maintenance. So with the current budget constraints, it's required us to reduce some of our staff. So it's really critical that we get this grant. And if we can't receive the funding, we're going to have to make some pretty drastic changes to how we manage the lake, which probably it would be summer of 2027. If we were not to get the grant, because we're covered through 2026, we might have to go to a 30-day quarantine for all vessels coming into the lake. So if you're at Nacimiento last weekend, you come out to Lopez Lake, we do an inspection and we tag your boat, and it has to wait 30 days. We're not doing that yet because we have the grant, but that's something we're considering if we don't receive the grant. But we're working hard behind the scenes to make sure we can make that happen. So that's all I have.
Just one quick question, Craig. This may not be fair for you, but do you know the size of the tank, the water tank, and the contractor that was got word of the contract?
It's Crosno Construction, and I don't know exactly, but I believe it's well over 200,000 gallons.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a name we know.
I'm just curious, what is the bear census?
I'm sorry?
The bear census.
Bear census?
Yeah, how many bears?
Yeah, we haven't had any recently. I think it's been a few months since we've seen one. They like to come around when our visitors come around. So we'll see, maybe this spring break we're going to be busy. But right now, it's been pretty good.
I got a quick question on the grant. Is it highly competitive? I mean, you've mentioned if we get the grant about, I don't know, five times. And so it made me a little nervous that maybe the competition is up this year, or it just seems if we're good actors that should count for, past recipients, that our situation hasn't changed. It's worked really well. So I'm just curious.
It's very competitive. I think, I don't know if there were several that there's only $2 million last grant cycle, and we received the $318,000 of that. Part of that is because we're very susceptible at Lopez because of the calcium content. In fact, we got more money than Tahoe Lake to put things into. So it's very competitive, and it's going to be more competitive. I just got off a meeting. But we have a very good argument for it, so we're confident that we can get something. Maybe not the full amount we asked for, but hopefully enough to provide what we need.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Ranger Dupree. Appreciate that. If anybody from the public did want to speak on the Lopez Recreation Report, this would be the time. Seeing none, we will move on to item 6, informational items.
Yeah, none at this time.
Thank you. Item 7, action items. These are items with no subsequent Board of Supervisors action required.
None at this time.
None at this time. I love it. Okay, we do have an item 8, an action item that we will ask the Board of Supervisors action is subsequently required. So item A, the fiscal year 2026 to 27 budget endorsement.
Good morning. Christina with the County of SLO Public Works Department. After review with the Finance Committee on February 19th and the Technical Advisory Committee last week on March 11th, we are presenting you with the proposed budget for fiscal year 26-27. As the transmittal shows, the summary of changes from current fiscal year 25-26 to fiscal year 26-27. Total O&M is increasing 4.63%, and the total contractor billings are increasing 10.74%. Total contractor billings to agencies, they are increasing the 10.74%, but this figure, however, does not reflect the comparable increase in operating costs, as explained on the variance discussion. The increase is driven by a one-time reserve funding of about $706,000 that was used in the fiscal year 25-26 that reduced prior year billings. Because similar reserve credits are not applied for fiscal year 26-27, the year-over-year comparison reflects a higher overall billing increase. Without those reserve credits, billings would rise from about $9.27 million to $9.49 million. An increase of about $213,000 or 2.49%. And so looking into our categories and what the main variances or increases, decreases were, in routine, we see an increase of about $148,000 or 2.31%. This is driven by higher countywide overhead, units and meter stations, SCADA efforts, and the utilities division engineering costs. Notable budget decreases are in the Lopez Water Rights HCP and the Urban Water Management Plan. Non-routine is seen increasing by 31.61%, primarily due to the new dam safety compliance studies like the terminal dam geotechnical seismic study and DSOD requirement for the spillway investigation, and these items weren't included in the budget last year, so that's why we're seeing that increase. Capital outlay or reserves, we've deferred any new budget for projects for the coming year, and the year-over-year increase reflects the absence of prior year district-funded reserve contributions. And then going into the reserve policy page, which is what David had referred to on what we are looking to change on the wording, the current operating policy listed within the budget book was definitely a topic of discussion at the Finance Committee. As shown in the agenda packet, it is stated that the district will strive to maintain an operating reserve at a minimum of 50% of routine O&M expenditures. We're presenting an updated page which states the district will strive to maintain the operating reserve at a minimum of 25% with a goal of 50% of the routine O&M expenditures. And we would like your approval, since it is in the budget book, to approve this language change. Thank you, and any questions?
Questions here? Thank you for the report. Really appreciate it. Is this an appropriate time for public comment if we're not having discussion up here?
Yes.
Open for public comment. Seeing none, I'll pull it back here for any final discussion, and then I'll look for a motion.
I'll move approval as staff recommendation to, for both items, the reserve change, and to move this budget forward to the Board of Supervisors.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
All righty. Member Riley?
Yes.
Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Talley?
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. So item 9, if anyone would like to present any future agenda items for the committee. Okay, then we will move on to item 10, which is any committee member comments. With that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.